Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
One of the well-kept secrets is missionaries sometimes need encouragement. Sometimes it may be the pastor or a staff member, but encouragement is always needed. Matter of fact, on Paul's missionary journeys in the book of Acts, three different times the Lord came to him and encouraged him to keep on going. Three different times, and all of those times was when he was kind of discouraged. Out of that knowledge and out of seeing that, the Fishbowl Retreat for Pastors and Wife was birthed. It was birthed over 20 years ago in the heart of my wife, Jan, and it has continued all these years. And when we came to American Family Association, American Family Radio, our president, Tim Wildman, asked that we would continue sharing in the Fishbowl Retreat ministry. Well, this is Bert Harper, and it's good to be with you today on this weekend, and we're hoping that God's blessing you. We got a special guest today, and I would say a very special guest. He's been involved in the retreat for several years when we could get him to come and share, and it's J.J. Jasper. J.J., welcome to Exploring Missions.
What a treat to be here. Brother Bert, you're talking about pastors. How long were you a pastor?
I was over 40 years as a pastor, but guess what? I continue doing it. Even here at AFR, I've spent 15 years being interim pastors at different churches. The church I'm at right now, I've been there a year and a half, and they're still looking for their pastor to come. But so I've been involved in pastoring for 55 years when you put it all together.
Well, I know I had a front row seat to watch you pastor a wonderful church in Tupelo, Mississippi for 30-some-odd years, and the reputation you had and the fruit that still remains in our area. But you and Jan are the perfect ones to lead the Fishbowl Retreat because you know, certainly by experience, how pastors, unfortunately, they're placed on a pedestal. They don't ask to be there. The pastor, the spouse, even their children, they're in the proverbial fishbowl. Anybody else's child can run down the hall of the church. If the preacher's kid runs, they go, how dare that preacher's kid be so unruly? So,
how'd you know that, JJ?
Listen, it's it's not fair. Pastors don't deserve to be on that pedestal. And I'm going to have to say, as a layman for many, many years, I really thought, well, that's the preacher. They're not tempted to lose their temper. They never have a bad thought. Preachers are human. They need the encouragement that you started talking about here on Exploring Missions.
Well, it started from that again. My wife, Jan, and she was the one that God just laid it on her heart to do something for, especially young ministers and their wives. And we launched out, and we just did it by faith. But one of the most amazing things, I think you know this, the first Fishbowl Retreat that Jan and I hosted, AFA, Don Wildman, I shared him with a vision, and he said, "How much money do you need?" And he gave the money for that time, and we had nine couples come to our first Fishbowl Retreat, not knowing that years later I would be a part of AFA. Now, I was then. I was on the board, but be a, quote, an employee, a staff member at AFR and AFA, and be able to continue doing the work of the Fishbowl. I look at that and I say, only God. You know, he knows what he's doing even when we don't, JJ.
Amen. That a preach right there, Brother Bert. Well, I've been privileged to be one of the speakers at the Fishbowl Retreat maybe four or five times now. And the work that you and Jan do and the couples that come from all over and maybe a little hesitant to be there because, oh, if I get away from my church, you know, there's these fires to put out and somebody's going to be in the hospital. I'm going to need to be there. Someone may pass away. But I think the deacons, the leadership, probably they do the most coaxing and say, you need a retreat. We're going to pay for this. But I've seen the ones that, you know, sort of from Indiana and Texas and Alabama and Tennessee and Kansas, they don't know each other. And after just a couple of days, you would think they went to school together and grew up on the same street. The love, the fellowship, the joy. And I like how you say it's not a conference, it's a retreat, because pastors and their wives, they need that refreshment and time away. They can't always bare their soul and share their problems with people there in the church. It's just a little bit risky, but they are talking to somebody from Indiana or Nebraska or Texas, and they go, wait, you have those exact same struggles?
Amazing.
Yes. And as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, there in Proverbs, I think maybe 27:17. But just to see the joy and the fruit and the blessing that you and Jan and all those prayers, and as you mentioned, the influence Brother Don had, and now AFA and AFR, pastors need that. They absolutely need that time away. And a lot of the people that have attended the Fishbowl Retreat after 5-10 years, they've remained friends, and they call somebody in Ohio, call somebody in Alabama and say, look, can I run this by you? Will you pray for me about this? Again, you can't always confide in the church members because you're just that close proximity, but you call somebody that you met at the Fishbowl Retreat and get that wisdom and that reinforcement right from God's Word.
And because of social media, it is amazing how that connects. You know, they just become real, real good friends. And a lot of times they find a place, somebody from Tennessee, somebody from Texas, and of all things, they meet in Arkansas. But, yes, that does happen. Well, this year, our theme is going to be God is our sustainer. Our verse, our key verse, is Psalm 55:22. Listen, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Now, the word sustain in the Hebrew means to uphold or support. The same word was used when Moses was on the mountain, and then that's when Aaron and Hur got under Moses' arms and lifted them up. He shall sustain you. And God will sustain you, but isn't it good to have people who have skin on to help sustain you as well?
Amen.
You know, it's like that little boy with the storm coming up, and they told him, the Lord will be with you. And he said, yeah, but I need somebody with skin on. And God sends somebody with skin on. And this is what we say a lot of times. The pastor won't do this on his own. But if a church, an elders, deacons, Sunday school class, an individual, they say, man, I want my pastor and his wife to have this time of encouragement, of refreshment, and it's at a beautiful place called Pickwick Landing State Park, right on the Tennessee River. Beautiful facilities, great time. And they say, go to their pastor and their wife and say, we want to do this for you. Clear your calendar. We want you to go. If somebody happens, these fires, we'll put them out until you get back.
Well, and you strategically have those where they're not gone on a Sunday. What are the dates that you have each year?
It's always in October, Pastor Appreciation Month. This year, it's the 20th, which is a Tuesday, through the 22nd, Thursday. So we start with a lunch, get to know one another, and we end on Thursday. We used to have a meal to send them out. Half of them are already ready to leave, so they don't care anything about eating. So, you know, so we end right with about 11 o'clock, 11:30 on Thursday morning, and then you could head back home. And, I mean, Tennessee right there is a good place because it's kind of centrally located for the eastern and western. We've got people from Texas coming, from Arkansas, from Kansas. We got Georgians coming, North Carolinians coming. We've had folks, the furthest we've had is some folks from Canada came down one day, one of our retreats years ago. And so it's a great time. And here's how people can find out more about it. They can go to repairingthefoundations.net. Now, it's plural, foundations. If you leave it singular, you'll just learn how to fix your house up with a foundation. But if you'll go to repairingthefoundations.net, you'll find it, Fishbowl Retreat, and you can follow that, and you can sign up right there to give you the details that you need. I'll send out more details. This year, JJ, it's going to be a little different. In place of you're a keynote speaker, but in place of one keynote speaker, we're having several that have their stories that they're going to tell about how God sustained them through the difficult trials of life. It's a little bit different. Now, Jan will be speaking. I'll be speaking and doing some Bible study. But our guests that are coming, which are more than you others, they're going to talk about how God has, just like, you know, Moses' hands was held up, how God held them up during difficult times. So let me say this, and then we got a question for you. You know, here's what I heard early on in my ministry about troubles or difficulties. It is this: you're either headed toward a difficulty, in a difficulty, or just getting out of a difficulty. They surround our lives, and that's what it is. And so I look forward to being with you. Jan will kick us off, and then we have you to come in to do two things. We ask it, hey, we want to laugh. Laughter does good like a medicine, but also to share some of your story and encouragement to our pastors, how you've benefited from what God's done for you in your life.
Amen. He really is faithful. And I'm so thankful for all of you pastors listening, whether or not you're able to come to the fishbowl, for how you preach in the infallible, unerring Word of God, time-tested. Thy Word is a lamp for our feet, a light for our path. It really is God breathed that manna just right out of the mouth of God, fresh from the oven. And the new pastors that stand on the Word and preach God's Word boldly. And you've got these verses like, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, Romans 10:15. So we're so thankful for the local church and the local pastor. But as you mentioned about God's faithfulness, you always ask me to share our story of along with doing some stand-up comedy, which, boy, people need to laugh. It really is biblical.
It's amazing how God can combine those two things.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that was possible.
But he does, doesn't he?
Laughing one minute, crying the next. But Melanie and I, we bought a farm years ago. At the time, we had four children, young children. We had three girls and one little boy, our son Cooper. And I could tell the long story, but the short story is he died in an accident on our farm. And up until that time, we had just lived a charmed life. We didn't have hardly even a hiccup, no real tragedy. And then after that gut-wrenching, horrible, darkest day in our life, I saw in Scripture and with everybody around you, your neighbors, your church members, your family, your friends, you can't go from the cradle to the grave without trials and temptations, setbacks, difficulties, and even a possible tragedy. So a lot of people are hurting. A lot of people are grieving. And pastors and their wives, they're no exception. And in fact, that's just something, Brother Bert, that I don't know how pastors, you know, go to preach a funeral and then counsel a family, a couple that's about to get a divorce, then go talk to another family who they have a rebellious teen, a wayward child, away from the Lord. I don't know how you walk in the door and just flip the switch and say, hey, what's for supper? And that you don't bring that home. But when you think about the role of a pastor, they teach and preach and counsel and marry and bury it. Whew, I get exhausted just thinking about you're always on call. I was having lunch with a pastor friend years ago, and I was just saying thank you for how you're always on call, and I don't know how you turn your brain off and all those things I just mentioned. He said, my wife and I have been married for 25 years, and he said, I've never been able to successfully go on a vacation. Second day, fourth day, fifth day, I get that call. You know, Miss Barbara in the church unexpectedly died, you know, just a faithful, long member. And it just didn't feel right for the associate pastor or one of the others in leadership to do that. They just knew the family would want him to do the funeral. And he said he had never, ever completed a vacation. And I just thought, that's rough on him. That's rough on the spouse, it's rough on the kids. You know, it'd be hard for the kids not to get jealous of Jesus. You know, boy, my daddy is always gone Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. all these emergencies, all this time at the hospital, all this, you know, time on Saturdays canvassing and knocking on doors and meeting with families. So please pray for your local pastor. Please do that. And October Pastor Appreciation Month, don't wait till October. Listening to American Family Radio, focused on the family for many years, I think it was H.B. London who said, let's designate October as Pastor Appreciation Month. Now, H.B. was Dr. Dobson's first cousin, but because Dr. Dobson was an only child, he said he counted him as a brother, and they grew up together, and they were like brothers. And H.B. saw the plight that pastors had coming out of school with all that debt, all that strain, everybody pulling from every direction. He said, boy, we need to pray for our pastors. So many that were getting discouraged said, you know, I'm going to go sell insurance. I'm going to go sell real estate. I've just been beat up so much by the deacons and the elders and a couple of families that just sort of think they run the church. And they just said, you know, I can't take this strain. So please pray for your local pastor. An encouraging card, take them out to lunch, you know, a gift card, that would go a long way for a pastor who has so many layers to what they do each and every day.
You were talking about the pastor being on vacation. One of the fishbowls that we've done, we had Barnabas Piper. That's John Piper's son. He wrote a book concerning the preacher's kid, pastor's kid. And he said what a lot of churches would count a successful pastor would not be a successful parent because of what you just said. And here's what we say. I love that pastor, but Jan and I say, hey, when you get older, when the pastor's retired and he's kind of having difficulty swallowing and may have some drool come out of the side of his mouth, who's going to be there to wipe the drool off? It's not going to be those members. It's going to be the family members. And with all my heart, here at Fishbowl, we say, listen, it's a balancing act. It is, yes, sometimes the church will be a priority, but sometimes, even if you have to say no to difficult things, make that family a priority as well. And only God can do that, JJ. Only God can give you the wisdom to know when and how and what to do. And honestly, a lot of times the pastor does not need to take the place of the Holy Spirit. In other words, if they've been indwelt with the Holy Spirit, guess what? They have the greatest comforter in the world with them. Now, that doesn't take away from the pastor desiring to be there, being there when he can. But listen, we need to teach our folks that God didn't leave us as orphans. And he did not send the pastor to take that place, but he sent the Holy Spirit to be that comforter. Now, I know that's pretty,
good preaching.
It is. But let me share one or two things, and I'll ask you about them. You get to stick around after you share a little bit, and you get to talk to some of the pastors and their wives there. Have you found that? I think it was last year, year before last. I mean, you spent maybe an hour talking with individual pastor, just encouraging him, hearing his story and him hearing yours. And there was a real ministry there for you.
Well, I'm a real people person. And as a new Christian, I shadowed my pastor, and I would go on Saturdays to go door knocking. People remember soul winning, going throughout the neighborhood, knocking on doors, sharing the gospel. I'd go to the hospital with him, so it was a real small Baptist church, so I was sort of turned into the unofficial associate pastor, assistant pastor, and I would fill in for him on a Sunday night, and I got to see up close, you know, all of the hard work and, you know, the jokes about it. Boy, it must be nice just to work 2 or 3 hours a week and, you know, get to live in the parsonage.
What a life.
But I want to say thank you again for you pastors, and thank you for your sacrifice and your service. And then I want to put a plug in for the Fishbowl Retreat, because I think 4 or 5 different times, and you're exactly right, the last one last year, probably hung around 2 hours afterwards because we were having church. The pastor from Louisiana was sharing his story, just a Paul on the road to Damascus salvation, and the his, you know, how the Lord called him into the ministry, and then how the church grew along with some struggles and some setbacks, but then sprinkle in some miracles and God's favor and faithfulness. But I heard his story, then I heard another fellow in, from Kentucky, I think, and I was just enjoying it so much because, listen, we're all in this together.
Amen.
We're all in the vineyard. We're trying to keep our hand to the plow. Whether you're a paid staff member, we're all called to share the gospel, to be an ambassador like we read in Corinthians, to be salt and light. So, yeah, I love to get there early and stay late. And, again, the friendships that are born from that, the joy and the encouragement that they get from each other and from you and Jan and the other speakers, I encourage you. The pastor's probably not going to say, hey, I want to go to this. It's going to take, I think, the deacons or just some families in the church to say, we want to do this, and it's so affordable. I guess this is okay. You don't make any money. You lose a little money. So you just provide the room and the meals and everything. So please send your pastor and their spouse to the Fishbowl Retreat if you can't this year. Try to make that happen over the next couple of years and tell someone about that because it really is a treat, a real getaway, not a conference. And that's what helps differentiate it. They're not going to have to study hard, take a lot of notes, take tests. They're going to relax and have so much fun and come back with their battery charged.
We leave plenty of time for fellowship. We do. We believe in that because we have found out for Jan and myself some of the greatest times in our lives when needs happened, it was someone that God brought into our life that we could call, that we could talk with to encourage us and help us. I want to tell you, those do develop at Fishbowl. You have enough time for you and your wife or yet to know someone else for you to share with. And God does that, and that's purposeful. That's what we do at conferences. You hear one message and then another workshop and a message and a workshop. Give you a little time off to eat. But at the Fishbowl, we give you time to share together, talk to others together. But it's a refreshing time. That's the whole idea. And that's the reason we're using the theme today. God is our sustainer. He will uphold us because we're living in difficult and hard times. Let me ask you this. You get there a little early, stay a little late, but you get there early enough to hear Jan. Jan kicks it off, okay?
She does a great job.
And she really does. You know, I kind of peel the onion, you know, layer by layer. She just slices it straight out and lays it out there.
She comes right out of the chute and says, hey, being a pastor's wife's not for sissies.
Does it in a kind way.
That's right.
That's what's amazing. I wish I could do that. Mine, when I do that, it kind of comes off harsh and hard. But the scenery, let's take a time out. The place where it's held is refreshing as well. On the Tennessee River there?
It's on a point that you can just look out there and see that river. It turns into from the Tennessee River and comes down and turns into the Ten Tom Waterway. But it's up on a bluff, if you will. And the lodge is so nice, and the rooms are just really, really nice. And just walking around, they got benches and rocking chairs out front. It really is. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And in October, especially pretty.
Yeah, we have the leaves turning. And listen, we want you to come again. You can go to repairingthefoundations.net. You can find this information October the 20th through the 22nd. And again, we want to go back over our purpose, if you don't mind. The purpose is to encourage that pastor and his wife to engage in them, to know that the expectation that people have of them, it matters, but the greatest expectation is from our God.
Amen.
I want him for me as a pastor. Well done. And we're encouraging these pastors and their wives to listen. Yes, meet the needs of your people. Stay in the Word. Study the Word. But also give time for one another. And that's the expectation we have of them, designed for that. That's not a bad expectation, is it, for a church to have for their pastor?
That's really good that you want God's approval first and foremost. Hey, can I mention a couple of quick things?
Go right ahead, JJ.
I brought some notes from the Fishbowl Retreat from 2-3 years ago. I was at the one where the couple from Canada, where they were there. But I won Fishbowl Retreat along with doing stand-up comedy. I shared four thoughts after saying thank you I just encourage them to continue to preach the word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, 2 Timothy 3:16. That sounds like a no-brainer, but a lot of the big city churches, they're veering away from the authority of God's word. So continue to preach the word. Number two, be a storyteller. You've got King David, Joab trying to reconcile King David to his son Absalom, sent a wise woman from Tekoa to tell a story. Nathan, when he approached King David about Bathsheba, he told a story. Jesus would say, behold, a farmer out here plowing the field. So, yes, preach the word, but be a storyteller. Throw those stories in there. That just keeps people's attention. I had someone, a pastor, Brother Bert, when I was in leadership in my local church, and he saw that I was one of the elders. He said, can I give you some advice after years of preaching? I said, yes. He said, you can't go to everything, and you're going to miss a wedding. You're going to miss a graduation, even your niece, nephew, you know, your best friend's child. You just don't have that expectation. You cannot make everything. But he said, don't miss the funerals. And he said, I've had a handful of people say, you preached this, you know, May of whatever, 2020, the best sermon. He said, that's happened a handful of times. But he said, 100 times people have come up and said, my uncle died, my granddaddy died, my mama died, and you came to the funeral. And that just meant so much to see you there. So when people are vulnerable and they're broken and they're raw, he said, don't miss the funerals. And I would say that to you pastors, and then don't compare your ministry to others. So often, especially with social media, well, how many buses are you running? How many are you having Sunday school? How many in your congregation? And, you know, in any kind of thing, sports, golfing, anything, people just seem like they just fall in that trap to compare. Listen, if you have a little country church, if you have a little mission church, if you've got a big city church, whatever, stay in your lane, stay in your vineyard, and please don't keep your hand on the plow and don't compare yourself to others.
JJ, I come up with this, and using C's, you know, I'm a Baptist pastor, so I've got to alliterate, you know.
You have a poem and a prayer at the end.
The whole idea is compete and compare, lay them out.
Amen.
When you see churches that are doing good, let it be a challenge. Let it be a challenge to you to do what God has called you and your church to do. That's what they'll hear at the Fishbowl Retreat, and we're looking forward to it. And JJ, you're going to be there. We're looking forward to that. The dates are October the 20th through the 22nd. It's at Pickwick Landing State Park. You can go to repairingthefoundations.net and register. So do it now because it may fill up. We do have a limited time.
During the stand-up comedy, if you don't laugh out loud, I'll personally give you your money back.
You've heard it here. So thank you for listening to Exploring Missions here on AFR.